Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Our gospel lesson holds two things in juxtaposition from one another. On the one hand, it presents to us the danger of work righteousness. And on the other hand, it holds before us the blessedness of the gospel of grace. God grant that we hear these two messages loudly and clearly. Jesus wept over the city of Jerusalem when it came into sight as he was rounding the Mount of Olives. When you were a pilgrim and you came up that road, you were going uphill, uphill, and then you went around the side of the mountain, and suddenly there in front of you was the dazzling white stone of the city of Jerusalem and the temple. And it was always a stunning sight. Jesus, however, instead of celebrating, he wept tears of lamentation. He said, "If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong to thy peace." Jesus is saying, this is your day, the day of grace, the time of acceptance, the day of salvation. This is the time when the Spirit of God is freely given and the gospel reigns in the church. If you had only known in this your day the things that belong to your peace. Many of the Jews believed that the way to peace was to kind of keep the Romans happy. Other people thought that the way to peace was to endeavor to build some kind of a rebellion to establish a kingdom of righteousness in the earth. Jesus said, if you only knew the things which belong to your peace. You see, in the Bible, when the Bible speaks about peace, it does not simply describe peace as those things which are contrary to violence. But peace is a positive quality. It is the quality of being forgiven and accepted by God, and this happens through the coming of Christ. The presence of Jesus means that this is our day. The presence of Jesus means we have peace with God because our sins have been atoned for. The people of Jerusalem, because of the works righteousness which was taught all around them, they continued to dismiss Jesus. They continued to set his promises aside. They continued to walk their own way. Yet, notice that even though Christ is weeping, what we see here is a picture of the blessedness of the gospel. Jesus shows himself deeply desiring the salvation of sinners. To the people who dismiss him as unimportant, he weeps and he says, if only you had known. You see, one of the things that happens when you believe that you are righteous because of what you do and who you are, when you believe that, it makes you blind to the gospel. Whenever somebody tells you about Jesus coming into the world to save the lost, you say, well, that's nice, but I'm not lost. And when you hear about Jesus dying on the cross to pay for the sins of the world, your reaction is, well, that's nice, but I'm not really a sinner. I'm a good person, and I don't need someone to pay for my sins. When I get to heaven, I fully expect God to welcome me with open arms because I've been sincere and good and well-intentioned. See, when you buy into the religion of works righteousness, you blind yourself to the gospel. But when you know what you are, when you realize your sins, the gospel is powerfully enlightening. It opens the eyes, not only to see our sins, but to see this is the day of the Lord. This is peace with God. This is the time of visitation. Christ has come to me, and He has come with salvation, righteousness, and forgiveness, and this is mine on account of Him. All right, so that's the first thing. Works righteousness is a danger because it blinds us to the gospel. But the gospel enlightens those who hear it and receive it. Jesus goes on in our text and He says this, if you had only known the things that belong to your peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. You see what happens so often in life is that the more you put Christ at arm's length, the more you sweep the Word of God to the sidelines of your life, the more you delay when you hear Jesus calling you to salvation, the harder and harder your heart becomes. And Jesus says that many of the people in the city of Jerusalem were now so hard-hearted that they were beyond redemption. All right? Their hearts were so hard that a judicial hardening was placed upon them by the judgment of God. You remember Moses coming to Pharaoh? Let my people go. And just when Pharaoh's about to let the people go, the Bible says, Pharaoh hardened his heart and would not let the people go. And this happens a number of times. And then finally, in the text of the book of Exodus, Moses comes to Pharaoh and says, let my people go. And the Bible says, and God hardened Pharaoh's heart. You see, this is the danger of work righteousness. That as you resist the Holy Ghost and you push Jesus aside and you will not allow the Lord to come into your life and to be your Savior, the result is that ultimately you succumb to the judgment of God and He hardens your heart. And you become one of those unfortunate people that Hebrews chapter 6 speaks of, for whom it is impossible to bring them to repentance. But the promise of the Lord in Christ is that God will give us a new heart and a new spirit. You know, instead of having a heart of stone, Ezekiel says that God will give us a heart of flesh. All of this happens when Jesus, with his gracious promise and his salvation, comes and we hear him and we receive him. We receive not only the enlightenment of our minds and our hearts, but also we receive a new heart, a heart of faith, and a heart that hears and hungers for the Word of God. The text goes on, and Jesus says, "For the day shall come upon thee that thine enemy shall cast a trench about thee, compass thee round, and keep thee in on every side, shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another." Jesus is predicting the destruction of Jerusalem. And then he says why Jerusalem is destroyed. "Because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation." God in the Old Testament promised the coming of the Messiah. He promised the coming of salvation, the day of grace, the kingdom of God, the Christ. Jesus, in his incarnation and in his public ministry, in his miracles and in his teaching, Jesus is the fulfillment of this promise. Jesus is the divine visitation of God in grace to us. And Jesus says, "Because you didn't recognize the time of your visitation, therefore destruction is coming upon you. But for those who hear and who believe, who are enlightened in the gospel, and who have new hearts by the Holy Spirit, they know that God's wrath has been turned into grace and mercy on their behalf. And they rejoice that they are no longer subject to hell and damnation, but to eternal life in Christ." Now the text goes on, and it says that Jesus went into the temple, and he cast out those who bought and sold therein. You see, what the Israelites were doing was they were making a profit by selling sacrificial animals in the temple. And they were also making money because in the temple, you see, you couldn't use filthy secular money. So you had to go to the exchange booth and you had to turn in your filthy secular money and you had to have it changed into temple money. So they made a profit on the exchange from profane to sacred coinage. And then they made a profit on top of it by selling animals, sacrificial animals, at an exorbitant price, making money off the worship of God's people. Jesus goes into the temple, he throws the bums out, and he says, "It is written, my house is the house of prayer, but you have turned it into a den of thieves." Thank God that Jesus cleanses the temple, that Jesus purifies his church, and that Jesus, instead of filling the church or allowing the church to be filled with money changers and their filthy lucre, Jesus fills his church with the teaching of his word. And so we come to the last part of our text. He taught daily in the temple. But the chief priests and the scribes and the chief of the people sought to destroy him, could not find what they might do, for all the people were very attentive to hear him. Right? Notice two things going on. Jesus has just purged the temple from sinful activity. And then he fills it with his word. Every day he teaches in the temple. And people are flocking to hear him because Jesus does not teach works righteousness. Jesus does not teach self-righteousness. Jesus does not preach the mere religion of the law. But Jesus preaches the gospel of the grace and salvation of God in Christ. And so, we see two things going on. On the one hand, we see people actively and attentively listening to the word of God from the mouth of Jesus. And then we see the grumpy, nasty scribes and Pharisees who want to murder Jesus. They want him dead. They want to destroy him, but the attentiveness of the people prevents them from getting any further in their nefarious plans. Would that Christians would realize that in our day. We live in a time when the enemies of Jesus Christ, the enemies of Jesus Christ's church, have been emboldened by the passiveness of Christians. They have said, oh, these Christians, they don't stand up for themselves. You know, if you say something nasty about a Muslim, he'll chop your head off. But the Christians, you know, they forgive their enemies and they love their enemies. So we can do whatever we want with them. And the enemies of the cross of Christ have been emboldened by the weakness and the passivity of Christians. Would that we would realize this and speak the word of Christ clearly, truthfully, and plainly in the face of our enemies' despisings, and they would soon learn to mind their P's and Q's. We bend like willows in the face of sin and temptation, disobedience, rebellion. We should stand firm. Bless the Lord Jesus Christ. Stand firm in the truth and speak it directly into the face of the opposition so that they may remember that Jesus Christ is not to be trifled with. And so here we see the attentiveness of the people prevents the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees from enacting their plan. How are we going to destroy this guy when everybody's listening so closely to him? If we destroy him, they'll all rebel against us. And so we see, on the one hand, the enmity of the world to Jesus and his church. And on the other hand, we see a picture of the church gathered around Jesus Christ in the sanctuary of the Lord, very attentive to hear the word of God from the mouth of Jesus Christ. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.